A song I wake up singing every morning. Where am I? I mean, who am I? Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? What a great song. What a great song. Thank you, Brother Cooper. Beautiful song, and may I add, beautifully played. Beautifully played. We're going to go back to the scene of the crime. Last week, we were in Psalms 1. I'm going to ask you to turn to the first psalm again. We looked at the very first word, and the very first verse. We spent an evening looking at that one beautiful word, blessed, or blessed. We looked at so many wonderful facts about it. We're going to look at another word that pops out at me in this wonderful psalm, this song that was written by old King David. Amen. Amen. You know, I saw that big yawn, Ashley. I saw you yawning. I hadn't even started preaching yet. I saw that big yawn. And you know what's funny is it made me want to yawn. I don't know what it is. But when somebody yawns, I want to yawn if I see somebody yawn. And I was like, wow, I feel like yawning right now. I'm just talking about it. Amen. Man, I'm delighted to see everybody here. Psalms chapter 1, if you're there, say amen. Amen. All right, that sounds like most of you. And I need to give away just so I can speed this up tonight. I'm going to note my time. I really, really try to be done by 8 o'clock or at least as close to it as we can get. So I make that a sincere goal and try my best to stick with that. But I want to give out some verses that will help me. I need 10 people with a King James Bible that don't mind reading to raise their hand. Right over here, Miss Christy Windhorse. Luke 12, verse 23 through 34. So you're going to have to read quite a bit there, but it's easy reading. It's good. You'll find it easy to read that. Brother Titro, 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13. 1 Corinthians 3, 11 through 13. Need another person here. Right over here, Brother J.D. Luke 12, 15 through 21. Luke 12, 15 through 21. Okay, I need another one. Right over here, Brother Mike. Luke 16, verse 19. And then I'm going to have you, while you're there, read verses 22 through 25. So I'll call for it. You'll know what I'm doing, but it's all in the same chapter. Luke 16, 19, and verse 22 through 25. All righty. And let's see here. I need another one. You're right over here, right over here. Genesis 14, verse 20. All right, Genesis 14, verse 20, if you can mark that. I need three more. All right, Brother Jeremy, Job 1, verse 3. I need two more. Miss Christy, Genesis 39, 22 through 23. I would have called you honey, but I was afraid J.D. King would have answered, so I was a little afraid to say that. Genesis 39, 22 to 23 is what you're reading there. All right, I need one more. One more, all right. Miss Tina, you're going to look up Psalms 73, and you're going to read verse 3, and then when I call for it, you're going to read 17 to 22. You're going to read Psalms 73, and you're going to read verse 3 first, and then when I call for it, you're going to read 17 through 22. So it'll all be at the same time, but for time's sake, I'm not going to have you read the whole thing. Just those selected verses. We'll go along with the point I'm trying to make here. All righty. And there's going to be a bunch of scriptures that are going to be on the screen. Brother Kyle, you got that list in front of you. We're going to move fast with that. This will speed it along very quickly here, and I'm going to do my utmost best to be done at 8 o'clock. Or at least as close to I can get. If I get between 8 and 9, that's pretty close, isn't it? Somewhere between 8 and 9. We're going to move it along here. Last week, we looked at the first word in Psalms 1. Then that word was blessed or blessed. We looked at 16 times in the Word of God that it says a person would be blessed for doing something. Or in the case of Psalms 1, verse 1, blessed for not doing something. It's the only time it's used in a negative way where it says if you don't do this, you will be blessed. So Psalms 1:1 says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So we see that the Bible says that the man that doesn't get involved in people going the wrong direction is going to be greatly blessed of God. Then we looked at 16 places in the Word of God where it declares that you will be blessed if you do these things. And so if you missed that, go back and watch it because I think it'll be a blessing to you. You'll be blessed by watching it. Somebody say amen. Now, I want to do a cross study. We also looked at, by the way, what it means to be blessed. And we learned a lot about that word. I tore it apart, learned some things even myself that night. Now I want to do a cross study on another word that stood out to me in this encouraging psalm. And it is found in verse 3. Let's look at it together. Psalms 1 verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Now we see that is the result, but what causes that positive result can be found in verse 2. We see that this blessed man who doesn't tangle with people going the wrong way, but what he does do, he delights in the law of the Lord. And in this law doth he meditate day and night. So we see that there's a guy who doesn't run with the wrong crowd. He doesn't sit in the scornful position looking for the wrong in things all the time. He doesn't hang with people going the wrong direction. But what he does do, he loves the word of God. How many of you get that from those two verses? We see a blessed person, but we see in verse 2, he loves the word of God. He delights in it. Not only does he delight in it, he meditates on it. Man, he tries to figure it out. He studies it. He thinks about it. And then the Bible says that something's going to happen to that guy, and it's the very last word of verse 3. Somebody tell me what it is. The last word of verse 3. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. That word prosper leapt out at me as I was looking at that this week. What a great word. Man, there is a lot of people that desire what this word means. I mean, we work, we push ourselves, we sacrifice, we dream, we scheme, we train, we educate ourselves, all in the pursuit to have all that this one word means. The Bible has much to say about this word, prosper, and how to achieve it. In fact, the word prosper is mentioned in my research, and unless it's wrong what I researched, I counted where there was 49 times in the King James Bible that the word prosper is mentioned. Now, the word prosper in Psalms 1 is the Hebrew word, and that Hebrew word is pronounced in our English language as saw lock. If you spelled it in English to sound like the Hebrew word, it would be spelled T-S-A-W. L-A-K-H, saw lock, a primitive word, and it means to break out. It means to go over, be good, be profitable. It means all those words, to push forward. It means all those words in the Hebrew tongue. Now, the dictionary defines it as a verb, and it means to succeed in material terms, be financially successful. They define prosper as being financially successful. They also define the word prosper as in this, to make successful. Now, the word prosper denotes that your success is from the help of another. For instance, the rain prospered the crop, or the Lord prospered Joseph, or God caused it to prosper. So we see there's a denotion that the word prosper comes from somebody helping you, or somebody making you a success. Now we see prosperous or prosperity is the result of being made or allowed to prosper. The word prosperous is when you are allowed or being made to prosper. Prosperity, prosperous are the results of prosper. There are synonyms I looked up. The synonym for prosper, several synonyms are listed here. Synonyms like do well, go well, fare well, thrive, flourish, bloom. These are all words that could be synonyms, according to the dictionary, for this word prosper. We know the main connotation of it is the word success. Success. Now, I began to look for the word prosper in the Word of God because I saw that it was mentioned 49 times. I began to see where the Word of God explains some keys to prosper, something very important to all of us. How many of you would like to be prosperous? How many of you would like to prosper at being a parent? How many of you like to prosper at being a Christian? How many of you like to prosper at your endeavors in life? So it's an important word. Well, the Bible has a lot to say about it. Now, let's look at some scriptures here that are going to be on the screen here. Numbers 14, verse 41 says this. And Moses said, "Wherefore now do ye transgress the commandment of the Lord? But it shall not prosper. Go not up, for the Lord is not among you, that ye be not smitten before your enemies. Here we see the Lord as he is giving a warning that I'm not in this. I'm not with you on this. And then he says, it will not prosper because you are in transgression. So I looked up that word transgression. Transgression means to fail or disobey the will or command of God. A person living out of God's will is living in transgression, and according to the word of God, they will not prosper outside of God's will. I began to think about that definition in that scripture verse, and it took me into the word of God where I thought about Jonah. Jonah transgressed, did he not? He got out of the will of God, and his way did not prosper until he got back into the will of God. I thought about Samson. Samson lived a life in transgression. He got out of the will of God, and his life did not end prosperously. He ended up dying amongst his enemies. His greatest victory was at his own death, and his death was at his own hand. So we see two examples right off the bat, without even really thinking, that would back up this scripture that a person will not prosper if they are living in transgression, out of God's will or plan for their life. A lot of times Christians get out of God's will and they think that they will prosper, but God says, I'm not in it, and you will not prosper. Now, Deuteronomy 28, verse 1 and 2 says this, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I commanded thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Amen. Now we see here in that scripture. Now let's go to verse 15. It says, but it shall come to pass if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Look at verse number 28. And thou shalt grope at noonday, as the blind gropeth in darkness, and thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Also in that same chapter, we see here, go over to 29 verse 9. It says, keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that ye may prosper in all that ye do. So we see here God giving the law, but he is saying, if you obey me, great blessings and prosperity are coming your way. But if you do not keep the words of this covenant, if you do not obey the commands and the laws that I put before you, it will not prosper you. So we see in Deuteronomy 28 and in chapter 29, we see that God blesses obedience and will not prosper disobedience in his children. How many of you see that in those scriptures that we just read? I'm trying to move quickly. If we read the whole thing, you get an even bigger glimpse, but there's no way I can do it in the time frame that I have. So I've got to move quickly here. But how many of you got enough of it? You saw what I was talking about. God blesses obedience. And obedience leads to prosperity. How many of you got the idea there that disobedience, God says, I will not prosper disobedience. Now notice what Joshua 1:7 says. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Now notice what 1 Kings 2:3 says. And keep the charge of the Lord thy God to walk in his ways, to keep his statutes and his commandments and his judgments and his testimonies, as it is written in the law of Moses, that thou mayest prosper in all that thou doest and whithersoever thou turnest thyself. Also notice what 1 Chronicles 22:13 says. Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. We see in these verses I just read, it shows us the prosperity of abiding in God's word. And all through those scriptures, we see God telling us that if we will just obey his word and abide in it, prosperity will come your way. You know, the word of God and knowledge of the word of God is one of the great keys to prosperity. Now, let's notice what 1 Kings 22:12 says. It says, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the king's hand. We see there a prophecy that prosperity was coming. So this shows us the prosperity in doing God's will and in doing God's work. God had told them to go do it, and he said, go do it. I am going to prosper it because it is my will for you to do it. So doing the work of God and doing it in his will bring about success in it. Alrighty, 2 Chronicles 13:12 says this, and behold, God himself is with us, for our captain and his priest with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you. O children of Israel, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers. Now notice this, for ye shall not prosper. Ye shall not prosper. We see there in 2 Chronicles 13:12, it tells us that we will not prosper when we fight against God. I think about Jacob who wrestled with the Lord, and the Lord ended up having to break him down. He didn't win. He didn't prosper fighting against God. He is saying, hey, don't fight against the God, Lord of your fathers. You will not prosper. You wouldn't think so, but a lot of people are fighting and warring with God. They're not going to prosper against God. Psalms 122:6 tells us this. Psalms 122:6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. We covered this last week, but it tells us that prosperity is found in our love for Israel. God will bless those that are good to and love Israel. We see that there can be prosperity found in this verse. Proverbs 28:13 says this, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. In that verse, it tells us that we cannot prosper and live in sin and try to hide our sin. The only way to prosperity is to confess and forsake that sin. We will not prosper living in sin. Now, Psalms 1, we already looked at it, but go back to it there. Psalms 1, verse 2 through 3 tells us that when we delight in the word of God, we will prosper. Knowledge and wisdom that only comes from reading the word of God can help us achieve prosperity. It's full of jewels and nuggets of golden wisdom. You've got to get into the word of God, but in the word of God lies the source of prosperity, true prosperity. I read the story one time about a man who went to an estate sale. And in this estate sale, he bought a beautiful, ornate desk that used to belong to a very wealthy man. That man had passed away, his things were being sold, and he bought that beautiful desk at that estate sale, that auction. He brought it home, he put it in his garage, and he put a tarp over it, where it sat there in the darkness of his garage collecting dust for over 15 years. 15 plus years later, he goes out there and he decides that he's going to get that desk out and he's going to clean it up and he's going to sell it. He knew it was worth a lot of money. It was a beautiful desk. Belonged to a very wealthy man. He got it out and he pulled it out in the daylight and he pulled that tarp over it. He saw that it was still, in spite of the tarp, it was covered in dust and it needed to be cleaned up. So he went and he got him some wood cleaner and some old rags and he began to work and he began to inspect that desk. That desk had all kinds of just very innate carvings all over it and all kinds of nooks and crannies, and it was just beautifully done. But while he was cleaning it and investigating it, he found that there was a secret latch that opened up a secret compartment that was hidden in the ornate part of that desk. He never knew it was there. Nobody knew it was there. It was hidden. So when he hit that latch, it popped open, and he reached in there, and he pulled out a little compartment that was hidden. And when he pulled it out, he found a little bag that was full of very expensive jewelry and some gold coins in it. He thought to himself, man, I've had this great prosperity that has been in my possession all these years and I never knew it. Just sitting out there in the garage collecting dust and covered up in the darkness. I had this great source of wealth and I never knew it because I never investigated the desk. Beloved, there's a lot of people that have a great source of prosperity. It's there, but they just don't know it. They don't investigate it. They don't get into it. It lays there covered up. But if you were to get into the Word of God, you would find that there's jewels on every page. Things that bring great prosperity to your soul and your spirit. And not just in a spiritual sense. There is great prosperity in wisdom and knowledge. Solomon, the richest man who ever lived, achieved all that through the great wisdom that God gave him. This source of wisdom is found right here. So we see that in Psalms 1, verse 2 and 3, it says that man that will give himself to meditating and studying the Word of God, what he does will prosper. What a great promise we have there. Now I want to share some closing thoughts here as we're going to get to the scriptures that I gave out to y'all. Thought number one, as we're thinking about prosperity, the Bible tells us quite a bit about prosperity. I didn't even scratch the surface. There's a lot more scriptures, but for the time's sake, we'll leave it there. But thought number one, as I was thinking about it, number one, man's idea of prosperity and God's are not the same. Man's idea of prosperity and God's are not the same. We think a lot about prosperity, the word that means success, to bloom, to come forward, to come forth. We achieve it, we chase it. And yet so many people out there, you know, people go to all these seminars, people go to all these growth seminars and all of these things that help people to achieve success. They pay big money to go to things. And yet often at those seminars, the people teaching them don't truly realize what prosperity really is. God's prosperity and man's are not the same. Who has Luke 12, 23 through 34? Right there. Miss Christie, read it. Yeah, keep going. Keep going. Go to verse 34. The Lord explains that there are values that men have that are temporal, and then there are values that are eternal. And what God considers prosperity is not often what man considers prosperity. We see that there's a heavenly prosperity. It leads me to thought two. There is temporary prosperity and eternal prosperity. Listen to what 1 Corinthians 3:11 through 13 says. This is... All right, we see there as Jesus is teaching, we see that he points out that there are eternal rewards. Some are gold, silver, precious stones, and some is wood, hay, and stubble. And he describes a fire that these works will be placed upon. That fire will burn up everything that's wood, hay, and stubble, and the only thing that will remain in that fire of trial will be what is made of gold, silver, precious stones. We know gold being the highest, middle grade being silver, and the third lower grade of eternal value being the precious stone. So we see here six awards. Three are earthy and three are permanent or eternal. Three of them are for the eternal life, and three of those sets of awards are things that we get in this life. Now they're all good. All six of them are good. There's no bad in that. Just that three of them, it could be that you do good and you get applause. That's some wood. It could be that you work hard and you make money and you get to drive a nice car, live in a big house, and have an office with a window. That might be some wood and some hay, some stubble. Now, here's the sad part. You don't take any of that with you, but it is a reward from the hand of God in this life. And God blesses often with wood, hay, and stubble those who do well in this life. But there are things that we do for God's glory, for eternal value, for the benefit of God and His work. And those things are the eternal things. There's a lot of good things. Good is always good to do, even if you don't do it for good reasons. And sometimes doing good will yield you earthy rewards. But there are things you can do that yield eternal rewards. So there is temporary prosperity, and then we know that there is eternal prosperity. Jesus taught that. Who has Luke 12, 15 to 21? We'll see an example of earthy versus eternal prosperity. Luke 12, 15 through 21. Go ahead and read that next, verse 21. Here we see a man that has every quality of what earthly prosperity would describe. But we see a man who never one time thanks God for it and never one time uses it to benefit anybody else. He's going to take it, shove it in his pocket, and use it solely and exclusively for himself. And the Bible says this man is like a lot of people who lay up treasures for themselves but have nothing toward God. Nothing toward God. Listen, there is temporary prosperity and there is eternal prosperity. And there are those who we would look at and think as prosperous, but it's a temporary prosperity. A third quick thought. So many people trade temporary prosperity for eternal by only living for temporal or at best living more for the temporal. We're going to see a guy who did this. Luke 16:19. Luke 16, verse 19, and then we're going to read verse 22 to 25. Go ahead, Brother Mike.
There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented.
You see here a story of a man who was prosperous in the world and a man who was a beggar in this world. Then the day came that death knocked on both of their doors. Do you notice on that day the roles switched? There was a role reversal here. The beggar became rich. The rich became the beggar, begging for just a drop of water to cool his tongue. We see here that a lot of people live for this world and the prosperity of it, trading what is eternal, only living for temporal, or at best living more for the temporal. We see the fallacy of this in the story of this rich man. How many of you agree with me? Say amen. He didn't take any of it with him, did he? And sadly, not only did he not take the riches he worked for and amassed here, but he had nothing there. What a sad story. What a sad story that's been repeated so often. Number four, thought number four, temporary prosperity is a blessing from God and should be received with thanksgiving and used for His glory as we seek to serve Him first with our lives and our increase. Did you get that? Temporary prosperity. I'm talking about the wood, hay, and stubble. I'm talking about the raise you got. I'm talking about the car you drive. I'm talking about the clothes in your closet, ladies. I'm talking about the gold and the silver and the James Avery ring you got on your hand. Amen. Those are blessings from God. We ought not feel bad if God prospers us. If you work hard and the increase of your labor is wealth and you have a nice car and a nice house and you get to do things with it and nice things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. It is a blessing from God. You should receive it with thanksgiving in your heart. But here's the catch. When God blesses you, use it for His glory. Seek to serve Him with it. That prosperity. Seek to serve Him first with your life and in your increase. Praise the Lord and praise God and bless God through the prosperity He's given you. Now, I think I gave out right here Genesis 14, 20. Genesis 14, right here. And He gave him, go ahead, read that last part. Amen. He gave him tithes of all. And that's talking about Abraham. By the way, this is before the law ever existed. This is before Moses ever penned anything. We see that Abraham was blessed, and the Bible says he gave tithes of all. Now we see, though, in the story of Abraham, there are several things. Now I failed to give out, but in Genesis 12, 1 through 4, we see the story of Abraham's start, how God promises to bless him, but gives him some conditions. We see in go there, go to Genesis 13, 2 quickly. Go to Genesis 13, 2. I didn't give it out, but it's crucial for us to understand what's happening here. Abraham's been blessed. He gives God tithes of all. But in Genesis 13, verse 2, it says, and Abram was very, what's that word? Rich. I thought richness was evil. I thought all rich people were bad. Now, Abram was blessed of God, but God promised him he would if he obeyed. He did obey. He did some right things and demonstrated faith through obedience. Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. God prospered him. God prospered him. Now notice that in this, we see that God blessed Abraham and prospered him due to his obedience through faith and his stewardship. Those two things, his faith and his stewardship, God just kept pouring it on him. He became very rich, the Bible says. Now, notice this. We see in the life of Job, who has Job 1:3? Who has that? Read that, whoever has it. We see Job, who served the Lord with all that he had. But the Bible says he became the greatest, talking about his wealth, of all the man of the East. God prospered him. God prospered him. We see here in the stories of Abraham, and we see the story of Joseph in Genesis 39, 22 and 23. Somebody read that. Did I give that one out? I didn't give it out, Genesis 39. Right here, Miss Christine. We see that God prospered Joseph. Now, it took it a while for this to play out. But his faith in every adversity, his faith, we see in the end of the story where he prospers Joseph. And Joseph achieves great power there in the land of Egypt. So we see all that. All righty, we're about to wrap it up here. Faith is the doorway to prosperity is what I'm saying. And hey, temporary prosperity, if God blesses you with wealth and housing and property and all kinds of good things, man, receive it with a thankful heart and use it for God's glory the best you can. There's nothing wrong with being prosperous in this world as long as you are reaching toward that next world. Amen. All righty, and the fifth thought here, the foolish heart sees worldly prosperity and is envious of it, but a wise heart sees the truth. Who has Psalm 73, verse 3? Right over there. We're just about done. Alrighty, we see the psalmist says, man, I was looking at the prosperity of wicked, people doing evil things, and they seemed so prosperous. And he was almost fooled by this. He saw worldly prosperity, and he was envious. But notice the rest of the story. Go to verse 17 and read to 22. Then we'll be just about done. Man, I want you to read more. I just love to hear you read. It was like hearing a bedtime story. I was about to find. Love it. Love that accent. In any case, we see that the psalmist, as he was looking at the world and the world's view of prosperity, and he was seeing people who never prayed and never praised God and never tithed, and they seemed to have it all. And he said he almost slipped into anger and bitterness and resentment. Then he said he went to the house of the Lord. I love that. Not until I went to the house of the Lord did I see the truth. Then he saw it from a spiritual lens instead of a worldly lens. We got to quit looking at the world through the world's lens. We got to look at it in light of this lens. These are the glasses that help us see the truth. Amen. And when he saw the truth, it was ugly. It wasn't enviable. It was ugly. And he saw people that this is all that they have. You know what? When you see the people who live for the world and they've got these things, what we got to remember is that this right here is the best it's ever going to be for them. And you and I, the best is always yet to come. It's always yet to come. And my final thought, the wise person doesn't spend his life to be prosperous for the sake of fleeting gain and achievements, but rather he seeks to be holy in his prosperity before God. I hope that you have holy prosperity, heavenly prosperity, eternal prosperity. This is a beautiful word. He says, hey, that one that loves this book, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God wants you to prosper. God wants you to have true prosperity, not things, not bank accounts. Prosperity in God is joy, happiness, contentment, eternal things, things that he has in store for you when you stand before him one day. What a beautiful thing. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I just don't know. But I do know that I want to be saved and I want to go to heaven. Would you pray for me? Anybody at all? I want to pray for you tonight. I want to help you. Anybody? Anybody at all? How many of you can say, preacher, this was a nice, encouraging message to help me keep my eyes focused on what's most important? Raise your hand. Well, we give our life to things that just don't matter all the time. I love what one of the great preachers of old said. He said, I don't fear failure as much as I fear succeeding at something that really doesn't matter. Boy, we need to put God first. Amen. Dear Lord, I pray that you'll help us to prioritize and seek godly prosperity. Help us, as you prosper us, to use it for your glory and to receive it with a thankful heart. Help us to understand the things that will keep us from prospering that we looked at in Scripture quickly tonight. Lord, I thank you for these people and their patience as we studied the Word. Help them to have a safe night and a good night and bless them as they go their way. Prosper everybody, Lord, in this ministry, Lord. I love to see them prospering and having good things happen in their life. But I pray that they'll have crowns to lay at your feet one day. In Jesus' name.